some of us have a very good relationship with technology where we use it frequently and we understand the fact that it betters our lives and that we shouldn't be too dependent on it at the same time. We should always learn and find ways to enhance our other skills that cannot be improved by technology. Then there are those of us who use it a bit too much, and then those of us who use it a bit too little, those who aren't tech savvy. I know I'm going to have to learn to show a little bit of grace to that group of people, quite honestly. So jumping right into the tech news, Meta announced their new virtual reality headset with facial tracking technology. The new headset, which is codenamed Project Cambria, is expected to be released in 2024, so this year, and it'll cost around $800. Quite pricey, but not as pricey as one would expect it to be, especially with the head tracking technology. If you don't know what that is, I think this is Meta's response to Apple's Vision Pro, because they went all in, right? And it costs so much. It's like $3.5, whereas this is just $800. And a lot of people were really commending Apple with the face tracking features. It wasn't face tracking features in as much as eye tracking features. So it's able to look at where your eyes are looking so that you can select the thing that you're looking at. The reason that this is such an important thing is because these virtual reality headsets do not use a mouse, unlike a laptop, because you might be wondering, if a laptop is what you relate mostly to, like, why can't they just select things with a mouse? The concept of a mouse doesn't exist on a VR headset, just like it doesn't exist on your phone or smartphone, where you just touch things. Not that it doesn't exist, there is a mouse feature, but the way that we use our smartphones most frequently, and the majority of us in general, is by just touching what we need to use and moving around with our fingers. So I do believe that this is Meta's response to the Vision Pro. Not that they are trying to be like the Vision Pro, but they're responding in a way that you can build a premium headset with some impressive features without making it so expensive that no one can afford it. I will admit, though, once the Vision Pro becomes, like, they've done iterations of it somehow, I don't know if they're still going to continue making it, and they've made it slim enough and still maintain and keep the same features and make it a bit more sociable and affordable, I would buy it, honestly speaking. I mean, I'd be reluctant to buy an Apple device, but quite honestly, I would jump on that wagon. And then moving on, this one is quite a big one. There's a lot of news revolving around Tesla right now, especially with their self-driving. A lot of people are quite upset by the fact that Tesla sold the idea of their vehicles being autonomous. And I remember I was excited as well. They kind of oversold it, right? And they kept giving it updates and telling people that if you buy the car now, you're making an investment, because in a few years, your vehicle will be able to self-drive and you'll be able to use it as a taxi that moves on its own, an autonomous taxi. Now, I have to preface this by saying this. The idea of autonomous vehicles is not new. It exists in many countries, including South Korea, Japan, China. This is just in Asia. I think the Netherlands as well has a few autonomous vehicles, if I remember correctly. In fact, even America itself has some autonomous vehicles, but they have limitations. That's the thing. The way that Tesla was selling it is it's as though there will quite honestly be no need for drivers anymore. Like, there will be no need for us to worry, and there'll be no need for a person to watch the vehicle, and it's going to happen. I think they promised by 2025, not even 2025. I think it was probably 2022 or 23 that this would have happened by then. But now recently, Tesla has recalled hundreds and thousands of vehicles due to a safety issue with the autopilot system. The issue could cause the vehicles to brake unexpectedly, which could lead to accidents. Now, that's a very big deal. That's a very big deal. Honestly speaking, if I had a vehicle that could drive with, like, drive itself, I'd be very reluctant to use it and not myself pay very, a lot of attention to it, and with my fingers at the tip of the steering wheel, because I'd be very, very scared, especially not just because of how the vehicle drives, but also considering how other people drive and how they're not aware that I'm driving a fully autonomous vehicle. And so they're not going to be very considerate and careful around me. But there are places where I would use it a bit more freely, but I would definitely pay attention. But with that said, I must leave you with this question. How do you feel about autonomous vehicles? Do you think that they're coming, or do you think that it's just hype that we're probably not going to see in our lifetime?
Two things that happened in South Africa in the tech world, and that is, first of all, that ICASA has granted license, which is the broadcast communicator or licensing communication for South Africa, with regards to Starlink. Guess what? So they've actually approved the licenses for Starlink, meaning that Starlink, which is Elon Musk's internet, high-speed satellite internet service, might soon go live in South Africa. I believe that is good news. His idea is to sort of have like a dish that's placed somewhere, and then you can grant internet to your area. I might be wrong. But the good thing about this is that there's rural areas in South Africa. I'm thinking about the Eastern Cape up north in Limpopo, where there's no fiber, where there won't be fiber anytime soon because it's rural villages. But you might be able to have a Starlink satellite there, meaning that those people can actually, at long last, be given access to the internet. Young kids could be able to be taught stuff, not the nonsense on Disney and on YouTube, but actually having proper conversations and learning proper things on the internet. That, I feel, is a very, very good thing. Second thing that's also interesting that happened this week is we've received in South Africa the cheapest electric vehicle that we probably will find for some time soon. It's a Daon, Eon, Vion, something like that. It's a very strange name, very strange pronunciation. But it's launched in South Africa, and it will be yours for the mere sum of 400,000 rand. Call me crazy, but I can get a car a lot cheaper than that, and it's going to take a whole lot of fuel to get to that amount. None of the cars that I own is worth almost a third of a million, almost half a million rand, 400,000 rand for a car. None of the cars that I've ever owned has amounted to that amount. It's just too expensive, I firmly believe. Still a car, still going to take you from point A to B, right? You don't need to purchase fuel. I get that. I get that idea that it's green and it's more environmentally conscious. I get all that. But even though it's environmentally conscious, it's not salary conscious, right? So do you know what salary you need to earn to get a car like that? Just something interesting to note. And then, also, last thing that I would like to mention this evening is it seems like Amazon would relaunch in South Africa. The Amazon storefront opened up in May this year, actually, the co.co.za. But it seems like they're going to do a proper launch, because I don't know if you've noticed, but Amazon is actually doing not that well in South Africa, and it seems that they are heading for a new launch. That's it from my side with regards to tech. I hope that gets you excited to see what's happening in South Africa. I am excited about to see what's happening in Starlink and where that's going to lead us. But I guess we still, as with most things in Africa, would need to wait and see.